Terry, word in my heart this morning is identifying strongholds. So we just want to, something that we want to share about that. And I think it's something that a lot of us don't, we're so used to the way we live and where we move that we don't know, we sometimes caught up with things in our life that prevent us from having fullness of Christ in Jesus Christ. So Satan, and that uses many of your human weaknesses that we've got, emotions, your tendencies, to establish strongholds in our lives. And we sometimes think that these strongholds is only for, maybe for unbelievers, but strongholds are also there for believers. So strongholds can actually touch believers and unbelievers. And actually for the believers even more. I, before preparing on this, I thought maybe there's not such a huge influence on the unbelievers because they already serving Satan. So why would he create strongholds in their lives? But we'll share a bit later on what also happens in their lives. So so if we look at the word stronghold in the physical sense, and you can maybe put up that third picture here, that one of their castle, Herman. If you look at a world stronghold, and we'll get to that now, it's a place of safety and security. The Hebrew word is maos, which can also be translated as a refuge, a harbor, a well-fortified place, a castle with walls, stone walls, and moats like we see there. So this is physically what we see if we talk about a stronghold. Because you see, for somebody, it's right in the middle, for somebody to get in there, very difficult to get in there, because there's only one way in. So this is a physical stronghold and where people can go and hide in safety. If you do that, if you go in there, the people will probably be difficult to get to you and to harm you in any way. So what is strongholds biblically? Thanks, Herman. So what is strongholds biblically? It's I think there's tremendous power that in the way that we perceive things. And I think we sometimes don't think of that, but the way we perceive things in life there's a very tremendous power in the way we think and how we perceive things. Stronghold is basically like a pattern that has been burnt into our minds that causes us to think and perceive things in a certain way. So that's what a stronghold spiritually is. Somebody said something to you, and we'll get to that a bit later, but somebody said something or shared something, and that thing starts growing in your life. And that almost it actually started in the way you actually act and the way you move and you talk. That influences all of that. But it's a wrong way of thinking, a stronghold like that. So if you look at, before we get a bit practical, if you look at the definition of the word stronghold, it says when a mind is convinced that a situation is unchangeable and hopeless. If somebody will come and say something to you, you're worthless, or you can't talk, you can't do this. And that things grows in your mind. And the second person maybe said it to you. And it grows in your mind if that you believe that. And that becomes then something that you actually inhibits you so much that you won't can be able to live a life fully in Jesus. So if you look at maybe just a picture of how strong it would look in the physical, can you tell me the second picture? I'll show two pictures, but this is basically what strongholds does in your brain. So there's wrong beliefs that come, and then it actually just consume your whole brain at the end of the day. It's something that protects you. It controls your reactions, how you go. And then you've got these offenses and all that other stuff that actually creates it, that forms the outer layer. And the second one? Maybe almost like you see, we saw the castle now, but this is almost what happens. It's maybe a bit of a strange picture, but this is what happens if this stronghold forms your life. It's almost like a castle in there, and there's some thought that actually not good for you, some behavior or something that's actually harmful to you, that you start believing it, and you start almost building a fortified type of thing within your brain. So if you look at, let's go to scripture, where we find about it, because I want to just to look at identifying strongholds this morning, not focus on, so if you look at 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5, it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish strongholds demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So the Bible also talk about strongholds there, and if you want to, so as we said, and we've sort of, that strongholds will mainly form in your mind, but it's not only in your mind. Strongholds is actually, also can come from the outside. So, and we've got an enemy, and we mentioned it right at the beginning, but the devil is very real. So a lot of times, you see a lot of the world try to tell you, but the devil don't exist. Because at the end of the day, if you don't exist, then these things can just grow in your life, because you won't know it's him. So the devil is very real, and also people that the devil uses. Maybe something that somebody says to you. It can just can influence you, think differently about maybe who you are. Some negative thought that somebody put you, maybe when you were young, you had a parent that said to you, but you're worthless, you can do nothing. Or something happens, and that thing takes control, and it grows in your mind. And as it grows, that starts controlling the way you act and you move and you do it. So the devil, if you look at the battle is in the mind, as I said. So these things happen. It can happen, come from outside. And that's what we saw even in Paul's life. And I'm not going to go into that. But in Paul's life, even there was attacks from the outside, from people and from the enemy. But in the day, the battle is here in your mind. And we need to remember that this spiritual, it's a spiritual battle. And if you read the scripture that we just read, you'll see that it talks about it's a spiritual battle. So we've got spiritual weapons and that you can actually use to break down these strongholds. Because these strongholds are actually just what it says. It holds us so that we can't live a full life in Christ. So the devil can convince us there is no... So if you start about the battle that's in the mind that I said, so the devil can convince us there is no hope. He has already won. It's one of the ways it can happen. So coming back to a few weeks back, we spoke about David and Goliath. And if you look at that situation in 1 Samuel 17, what happened? If you see, this was total different behavior between Saul, the Israelites, and David and the other side. So what happened with the Israelites? They saw what the enemy did, what the devil did, and what actually threw Goliath in that sense. What he did is created the fear and hopelessness, because this is one of the ways our stronghold is created, is by fear and hopelessness. So that through Goliath, the enemy created fear and hopelessness, and what happened there? In the day, these guys got fear actually came. What they became? Said Goliath was too big for them. So what happened? They didn't want to go face that giant, and it just grew in his life, and stronghold just grew bigger and bigger in life. So there, something human, a giant actually became, was the source of a stronghold that became, and they actually laid those guys lame. They couldn't move. They just were sitting and they were scared and they were sitting, just take us. Contrary to that, if you look at what happens on the other side, what happened to David? For David, Goliath was just a Philistine. Not a Philistine who actually defiled God. And he didn't see it as a stronghold. And we'll get to that a bit later as well. But the reason one of the reasons is David did not fear Goliath. Because David's focus was God. He was consumed by the goodness and the greatness of God. And being consumed by that, Goliath actually looked small to him. So that's what happens. As soon as you change and you change your mind, there's no fear and there's no hopelessness that like the enemy tried to create into the Aiden. And Jesus takes control for his Holy Spirit, then your stronghold this actually means nothing. It's actually, you see, it's actually so small. It's almost laughable sometimes, I think, if I say, you thought I was getting hopeless, and it actually gave me fear with regards to this little thing. And just focusing, just changed my focus a little bit. It actually changed the total thing about the stronghold. It's not a stronghold anymore. Then also the stronghold, though real outside of us, is mainly in our perception. So it's how we perceive things. I think that's the one thing. We perceive certain things. That's where the enemy comes in, the devil comes in. He makes you see something bigger or greater, as we saw, than it really is. And then you start living and believing that. And if you start living and believing that, it gets bigger in your life. Either day, it's almost like that picture that we see, it starts settling in your brain and it forms its roots there and you struggle to get it out. And you believe that's the truth. But on the other hand, if you look at like David, we actually see that the battle is the Lord's, and if like him, the fear is actually fear moves. Because David had any fear, he was just running at Goliath and said, "You know, in the name of the God of Israel, you defeated," although he was so small. So there's a very small difference that makes a huge impact just in the way you see it. You know, perceive whatever's happening or what's the Satan or whatever in any way being put into your mind. So why, I think, is it important then to know what a stronghold is? I think it's important because we, firstly, to recognize and identify them. That's how we need to know them. So you need to recognize and identify strongholds because it can creep into your lives so easily that you start almost getting used to that. And you're getting used to that, you, end of the day, you start living uncomfortable. I just even know that it's a stronghold anymore, and that's just the way that life is at the moment. Secondly, then, the why it's important is to deal with them, with our spiritual weapons, because the Bible says that we need, when there's strongholds, we need to attack and we need to deal with them with spiritual weapons, which is prayer, which is fasting, etc. We can look at the spiritual weapons that we can use. And interestingly, a lot of those weapons that we use is not attacking weapons, it's defensive weapons, because there's already the enemy already came in, and we need to defend that thing that stronghold doesn't take full control of your body and of your mind. Okay, so I just want to, from there on, look at identifying a few strongholds. I think it's a bit of practical stuff, and the first part's a bit maybe technical. But I want to look at how can we identify the strongholds as well. So just to start off, the Satan and his demons wants to capture the minds of people. And our mind, and then but the mind is actually, then if we were citadel means, but like same word as stronghold. So the mind is actually the citadel of all our emotions and our soul. So if the devil can come and he can capture our mind, he can control my mind into the day what's happening. And everything that comes through the mind, it also goes to your heart at the end of the day. So if the devil can capture that part, he actually lay you lame, and you don't see yourself as God sees you. So we need to be serious and know how to identify strongholds, and then with that, deal with the strongholds. Yeah. So it's like mindsets that the devil erects in us, and it creates fear, creates harmful thoughts, patterns, arrogant attitudes. There's a lot of things that we can look at and which we actually need to go and ask the Lord, what is in our lives? What is there any of these strongholds, anything in my life that's not honoring you or not from you, that's actually laying me lame? So when as this mindset come and it grows stronger, the fact that someone will tell you about, oh, you're worthless, or you can't talk in front of people, or you never reach your goals in life, that's just the type of things people that the enemy will lay in your life. You never leave your goals. You can't talk in front of people. You're worthless. This type of things come. And there's a lot of us. We can mention a lot of them. But those things come. This is the thoughts that are in place in your life. And as soon as he brings that in, and as that thought grows, it becomes a mindset, and then it becomes a stronghold, something that you need to struggle because you actually get used to that. And you start living according to that. And then we need to deal with that. So one of the first things that can happen, and if you look at a few things, is negative situations, negative thinking. It intimidates us, and we see no way out. So it's not maybe just basically your one negative thought here and there, but you start continually thinking negative. Negative thinking, negative thoughts, negative situation that almost so huge in your life that it starts influencing the way you act and the way you live. This is one of the things that start creating a stronghold in your life, is these negative situations. Want to maybe share one or two personal examples now as well. That one of the things in 2017, I had a franchise where I was working from top. We actually did well at a company. I'm not going to. It's a corporate company. We did well. We actually witnessed the previous year, and suddenly, literally over a weekend. In a day, from a Friday to a Monday, they called us up on a Friday, says, yes, your airplane ticket, come to Joburg. And all the discussions up to that point in time was, they're going to increase the way the franchises make it better for us, give us bonuses, all that stuff. That happened. And Monday morning, we came into the head office in Gauteng, in Sandton. And what happened was, they called us in and said, we're closing your franchise. We're closing your franchise. We're closing your franchise. All the guys were there. with no reason, and they said, but I will create this mega franchise where everybody can work for, but we'll pay you 50% of what you always got. This is not where the strong group, this is where it started. And then that thing started playing in my mind. So I was thinking, what do I need to do? And initially I said, okay, I'm going to leave. But then they were supposed to pay me a certain amount for my franchise. And they started, they paid me initially a third. And I was just saying, but this, you can't pay me a third, this is what it's worth. End of the day, what happened was, when they increased it a little bit, when I paid two-thirds of what they were supposed to pay me, what happened was that they said, to take it or you leave it. You get this or you take nothing. So where I want to get to, long story short, is that after that, that thought started playing in my mind, what do I need to do here? I can make this big and I can fight them in court and I can do all these things because I need that last extra third or last part I need to buy. I need to get it, and I'll fight for it in any way. So I could have got it, let it consume my mind, and so much that it could get a stronghold, and I was actually willing to, at that point in time, then started acting that way. And then in my case, the Lord showed me, don't fight him legally. And I could have gone against what I thought, what I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, and I could have felt it, or I could have fought him legally, or I could just go back off and I said, Lord, you will sort it out, I give it to you. And in that way, that could have created a stronghold. In effect, that's by way of just the decision of not making it a stronghold in the way I live, I could actually just get free. Still, I haven't received anything, but I've written it off. I don't want to make it, but just to give you an indication, that's how stronghold can come into your life. Second one, I think for all of us, maybe quickly, COVID-19. You remember all the COVID-19 thing? A lot of people were so consumed about what's going to happen in COVID-19 with me. Am I going to die? Or what all the things going to happen? And we started to fear of what's going to happen with us. And we live day to day. The way you perceive that, and this is what I want to get to here, the way you perceive that, if you look at the stats, for instance, for COVID-19, not a lot of people died. Sadly, people died. But if you focus on almost a little of the small amount of people died comparing to the ones that actually got COVID. It's a total different way looking at it than looking at it by looking at, well, probably I may die. So just to say, that's something else that could have created a stronghold if in that situation you started focusing on yet so many people died and you focus on that part, but not focus on the part that actually the number of people actually survived. And I haven't died of that. I think this is maybe another example on that. And if you look at the Bible, for instance, it says that God had given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. That's in 2 Timothy. Another situation that can happen is fear. We've spoken about fear. So the enemy can create fear. You may have fear of man. You may have fear of punishment, specific situations, etc. And all of that can create a stronghold in your life. Next one, intimidating situations. We actually looked at one previously where Goliath intimidated the Israelites. What happened? It created fear in their life. It created the fact that they couldn't move, and it became a stronghold in their life. On the other hand, again, as I said, it's something that God's not working intimidating. He's just intimidating us. He loves us. He wants the best for us. And next one, stronghold, how we can identify strongholds, is if there's temptation, you know that's from the devil. Because God does not tempt us. I'm not talking about small things like the small little the sweet or something tempt you, today with one piece of cake. I'm not saying that. I'm talking over a period of time, temptation take hold of your life. And what then happened, and we can look at two examples there, for instance. The one, if you look at Genesis 3, verse 1 to 6, and I'm not going to show that scripture, but the devil will let you look unreasonable. So what he did, with Eve and Adam, with Eve and the snake, what he did, he made God look unreasonable. God said it, but it's actually good for you. So he's trying to convince you in that way and then play in your mind. And if you start that thought again, start eating you, and it forms, it's something in your life. That's the way you act. You start thinking God's unreasonable. And later it becomes stronger. God's unreasonable. Second one, even temptation could look like God provide. You look at the story of Jonah. What happened to Jonah? God called Jonah to Nineveh. what happened. God, then Jonah came to Tarsus, or what, Tarish, or I don't know what Tarsus, whatever, came there. What he saw, he said, it's a ship. What he thought. He said, maybe God provided for me. So that's why he took the ship and he said. So sometimes it looks like God provides, but it's actually stronghold. He takes you away and he takes you captive from where you actually need to be. What God called you, actually called you to. So that's temptation. And if you look at temptation, according to James 1, temptation, God does not tempt us. But we are tempted by our own evil desire. So this is what happens with temptation. So temptation is something that can create a stronghold in our lives as well. But any temptation is irresistible. Again, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Another one way to identify strongholds is, sometimes come in, is by way of intellectual arguments against God and the Bible. He can tell you, but the Bible's not true. If God lies, so he can come with something like that. And that can create, that can become, you can start believing that thought. And if you believe that thought over time, it becomes a stronghold in your mind. And then you start acting that way. This is what the stronghold is. And again, just the scriptures there, Hebrews 11:6, which just said, we're not going to read it in 1 Timothy 3:16. We can make maybe quickly show Hebrews. Got it, sorry. Quickly. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Somebody tells you, maybe an intellectual guy tells you that God doesn't exist. Then you get this. You must believe that he exists. And the second one is about the word of God as well, 2 Timothy 3:16. Which actually also said, you've got it there, all scriptures God breathed. So I start believing the Bible's not true. I'm starting creating a stronghold in my life, in my mind. And then I'm starting acting the way. And then I'll doubt everything later. And the more I doubt about, is the Bible really true, the stronger that stronghold becomes in my life. Then another huge, big stronghold is pride. Pride comes into our life. And at the end of the day, I'm not going to say too much of pride. There's a lot of scriptures regarding it. James 4:6, which I'm not going to read. 1 Peter 5:5. And the thing about pride being a thing that if pride comes into my life, it also blocks me and it becomes a stronghold. If you do that, the other thing about pride is also preventing me from seeing the other strongholds in my life. Because if I get so proud about it, I don't want to recognize the other strongholds, because I'm proud, and if I show that and I recognize it, and that's where humbleness comes in, on the other side of the fence. Okay. And then, maybe a last one, just to touch on how to identify strongholds, is incorrect perception of yourself. It's actually a crucial one. That's where I've got a low self-esteem in it, and I start believing I've got a low self-esteem. Guilty conscience, I'm feeling worthless. And maybe you can, while you're sitting in, you're sensing some of this stuff. This is things, if that's things still in your life, and it's something that could be a stronghold in your life, if that's something that you haven't dealt with. Shame-based thinking, where a person looks at themselves as failures. That's a stronghold that actually forms in your life. A dirty conscience, also something. So this is certain ways how to identify what strongholds is. Just want to, before we land, just want to mention how strongholds are created. Talk about how strongholds are erected, how it's been erected in your life. So there's a few things. The first one we can actually call by wounds in your life. So that's damaged emotions. So it could be, and maybe you recognize some of your stuff, it could be childhood experiences, maybe sexual abuse, absent parent, overly dominant parent, a lack of gratification, etc. If those things come and you haven't dealt with that, and it can form a stronghold in your mind, and you act according to that. It's something you need to work with, and we need to deal with, so that you can have a life overflowing in God. Second one, of our strongholds are erected is by unforgiving spirit or unforgiveness. If there's unforgiveness in your life, that's what the enemy does. Because Satan don't want you to let people forget you, for you to forgive people. So, and if you do that, almost if you unforgiving, it's almost like you take, it's almost like you take medication that can make you die. This is what I say. It's almost like, because it's unforgiveness, extremely important thing, because it's something from Satan, it's not from God. So if there's unforgiveness in your life, it's a stronghold in your life. And we'll make some time to just go through this stuff a bit later on as well. Jealousy, it's another one. Easy to see things in others, but the hardest to see it in yourself. If I'm jealous, I'll see all the problems in one of the maybe all the guys in your stuff. There's a stronghold, there's something you struggle with. You're not good at this, you're not good at this, but I'm because I'm jealous. So jealousy is also our strongholds are erected. One of the next one, unrealistic expectations. It looks like it's not a bad thing, but unrealistic expectations. If you don't meet them, strongholds are formed. If somebody gives you expectations and unrealistic and you don't meet them, a stronghold can form. I'm not good enough to meet what actually I need to meet. Inability to handle money is also one. See, if I can money in today, can form a stronghold in my life. If I don't can't handle money, I'm starting feeling guilty, and money will almost take control of my mind, and I'll start getting guilty. Why don't I use my money correctly according to what Scripture says? And then, now even unanswered prayers is another one that can actually create or erect strongholds. Because Satan will tell you God doesn't hear you. And you start accusing, and you accuse God doesn't listen, God doesn't hear, God doesn't care. That starts becoming a stronghold in your life. Another two, sin. I think it's an important one as well. Sin can also, if you start, keep continuing sinning in certain areas, it can form a stronghold in your life. You can go a lot deeper in this, but you only got so much time this morning. So another one, soul ties, unhealthy soul ties as well. It's a thing that our strongholds are erected. So this way, unhealthy relationships between a parent and a child, if a child's maybe bigger, between people, it's unhealthy. And those people start making decisions for you, want to make decisions if that person haven't given this stamp of authority of what I'm saying. So unhealthy soul ties. It's also something which, as I said, create or erect or erecting strongholds. I don't know if you recognize some of this stuff in your life. So just maybe to land on this is that just a statement I want to make is that he who controls the mind controls the very strategic place. So that's what it means. So who controls your mind? So it's almost a question I want to ask you this morning. Who controls your mind? Is it yourself? Is it the enemy? Is it somebody else through what somebody else said? Or is the Holy Spirit controlling your mind? Just a bit of thinking, we'll do that. So who's controlling your mind? Because the ones controlling your mind is in the day influencing the way you act, you move, and that flows through the heart. Okay. So if we look at in David's situation, we saw what the Israelites did. You can even look at Samson. I'm not going to look at Samson a lot, but Samson, by what he did, he had emotional strongholds and physical strongholds in his life. Emotional by way of the way he attached to Delilah, physically when he was at a temple, a Dagon, where he actually gave up everything, and that thing that consumed him so much that it became strongholds in his life. So, but if you can put on Psalm 27:1, Herman, if you look at David again, that's why I think David was called the man after God's heart. But Psalm 20, this is what David said in Psalm 27, long before our time. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So this is the opposite side of strongholds. This is almost the good stronghold that we need to have in our lives. Is that if God is God the stronghold, or do you allow the enemy, the devil, to get filtered by or by way of certain things that you believe becomes a stronghold in your life? And who cares? Of course, the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit controls your mind, this is what David had. And this is, of course, why David wasn't scared of Goliath. That's why he saw Goliath as somebody that said that's actually just blaspheming God. And he was prepared to take him on, irrespective. And that's you. So if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, the way you act, the way you will be totally different. And you won't be caught up in the things of the world and act according to the things of the world. So when a situation seems hopeless, the devil has produced just a mindset that he intended. So if there's something in your life that you feel hopeless about, this is what the devil does. God doesn't bring hopelessness. He brings hope. We need to recognize these strongholds and know that the architect and builder is the devil. And that's what that scripture says that we read in 2 Corinthians. We need to recognize the strongholds and then deal with that. with our spiritual stuff. It's a spiritual affair. We sometimes want to do it physically. Somebody says something to you, but it's actually, it's not that person. It's a spiritual battle inside that, because we're spiritual beings. And you want to attack that person. I want to attack Robert or Hugo or whatever, Jock, because they said something bad about me. The enemy is behind him. We need to recognize the enemy on that side. And maybe just another statement I want to make is that I want you to hear this morning, that every intellectual argument of Satan can be smashed. And I think that's the thing. If you can only remember that this morning and forget about all that terminology of strongholds and stuff. But every intellectual argument of the devil, every stronghold can be smashed. Almost done, and then we just want to get a testimony there. From here. So we need to live and guard our minds from the knowing that an old man or woman has died with Christ and we have a new DNA. If you go Colossians 2, verse 1 to 3. So since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things, not on the earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So think, this is what the scripture says. We need to live out of that new DNA that we've got and not allow strongholds to take hold of our lives. And by that, living in that DNA, that's how we will smash the arguments that Satan throws against us. Just one last scripture. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around and roars like a roaring lion for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. And then there's also scripture in James 4, verse 7 that says exactly the same. So I think just important to end off before we get the testimony, and then I just want to give some time for you to pray for our guys as well. A stronghold can keep an unbeliever. This is maybe a very important thing. For an unbeliever, we think maybe, as I said in the beginning, a stronghold for unbelievers maybe not a lot of value. But we sometimes think, why doesn't somebody react if that person haven't accepted Jesus? But a stronghold can keep an unbeliever from hearing the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ. A stronghold keep you from thinking clearly, accepting the truth, repenting of sin, and receiving deliverance. And then just last remark, and then you can come. And a stronghold can keep us as believers from hearing the fullness of what God has for us.